up, guys? Welcome into another edition of Bogey Free. I am your host, Matt Jones. You can find me on Twitter at MattJonesTFR. And we are going to quickly recap the Farmers Insurance Open from last week and then point our attention towards the waste management coming up for Super Bowl weekend. So very quickly, Mark Leishman was $8,300. He was around 10% owned in a lot of contests, and he took down the tournament, though. He did get outscored for DraftKings points by John Rahm, which is not a particularly common occurrence, so definitely worth noting. As far as the contests in general this past weekend, the 6 of 6 percentage for a lot of the big tournaments was pretty low. It was in the like 5 to 9% range in most contests, like the big 100K up top. I think they called it King of the Pines or something this past week. Was probably about 8%. So definitely a week where you could have potentially cashed with 5 of 6. But there were some popular guys at the top. More or less, if you didn't have, say, 3 guys in the top 6 or so, you definitely weren't making a ton of money. We had Rahman and Rory finish 2nd and 3rd right behind Leishman. We had Brant Snedeker, who was about 15% owned in cash, in 3rd place as well. We had Tony Finau, who was like super chalk. I think he was the 3rd or 4th highest golfer as far as cash goes. And I think he was probably about 2nd or 3rd in GPP ownership as well. So a lot of popular guys up at the top. Only, I believe, 4 golfers scored more than 100 DraftKings points. But it was pretty tightly bunched. So as I go through the lineup from this past week and the cash locks and all that good stuff, we will we'll talk a little bit more about that. But before we jump into the rest of the show today, I do want to remind you guys that if you're a listener of the show who is not already subscribed to RotoViz, you can get a special 10% discount through the podcast by going to rotoviz.com/podcast. The golf content is going to remain free through the Masters, but we do have excellent content coming out every week on the NFL side. We have the draft coming up. If you're in dynasty leagues, I know that there is quite a bit of action going on in a lot of dynasty leagues right now with trades and getting ready for the NFL draft. So make sure you go to rotoviz.com/podcast to find out more about the discount and our other offerings here at RotoViz. All right. On to the good stuff. So we have a quick cash lock review again this week. Both cash locks made it through the cut, which is great. That brings the total to 7 out of 8 made cuts, 5 of 8 with top 25 finishes, and 2 top 10 so far. We have the average price as $8,613. We have the finish position as 29th, and the average DraftKings points scored is 73.8. So pretty decent. Again, a little bit of a weird week for both of the cash locks, really. If you didn't read the content or didn't hear the show with Evan last week, my 2 cash locks were Colin Morikawa at $8,900 and Cameron Tringali at $7,100. And Morikawa he had a stretch of like 4 holes where he was completely done in. He basically on the back 9 on Saturday went from 3 under for the day to 3 over for the day from the 12th to the 15th holes. He ended up finishing tied for 21st with 68.5 DraftKings points. He played fine. He played pretty solid golf. He was 13th in strokes gained approach and hit the 6th most greens in regulation. So it was really a short game that did him in. He lost a couple of strokes around the green, and he was kind of like middle of the pack as far as strokes gained putting for guys who made the cut. So for 8,900, you'd probably want a bit of a higher finish from from a cash lock like this. Definitely was a little disappointing seeing him slip a little bit, and he just didn't really. I don't know. This seems like it happened, the last couple of weeks. So I'm very interested to see how he bounces back. He's just lost it a little bit in these small, short stretches, and it really did him in. So, I'm sorry. He had 72.5 DraftKings points. So he was right around a lot of the guys in his range, though he did get outscored by a few people right below him. As far as finishing position goes. So, again, not terrible, not the most amazing thing that we've ever seen. Tringali, on the other hand, was just kind of all over the place. He scored well. He played well on Thursday. He was definitely underpriced at 7,100, but he ended up finishing tied for 49th, really because of the Friday and Sunday rounds. He went 68, 75, 69, 74, which is just not going to do it. Played really well on Thursday, hit a ton of greens, and then just completely lost his irons, hit about 68% of his greens in regulation. So, again, not the top finishes and the high finishes that we were hoping for this week, but... again, I think the process is good, and we're just chugging along, trying to get some hot putters and whatever else we can find, really. So let's jump into the lineup review from this past week. We still haven't made the optimizer public because there's just a couple things that we want to add and make sure it's like completely ready to go for you guys when it does come out. But I tested it out a little bit. I went through and basically just completely lock buttoned Morikawa and Tringali and took a look at the top 20 optimal lineups. It really, really wanted to jam Rory in to every lineup. And that was good to a certain extent, right? Because he finished third. And I would say that, over 100 points and a third place finish pretty much pays off a third, pays off a $11,600 salary. He had a shot to win. And he just kind of dug himself a hole right at the start on Sunday. He finished the day with a 69. But if you just looked at that, it was fine. But he did have five bogeys on his card, and definitely not the strong Sunday finish that we were hoping for. It is something to sort of watch out for too, because. Obviously Rory is a world-class golfer, but he does have these Sundays sometimes where he just doesn't quite click on all cylinders. So, the lineup was Tringali, Morikawa, Rory. Next guy up was Cam Smith. He was 8,700, went into the weekend looking okay. He was three under. I guess he safely made the cut by a stroke or two. And, pretty much did nothing for the rest of the weekend. He finished at even par with 61 DraftKings points, and that was good for a 64th place finish. So not really what you want out of your $8,700 golfer. The next guy was Denny McCarthy at 7,100, who was in that group of T64 with Cam Smith. And he literally did the same exact thing. He was three under after Friday and finished the tournament at even par. So, and it was 59 DraftKings points. So not great. Probably the best play that I made of the week was going heavy on Maverick McNealy at 6,600. he popped really high in the expected birdies and had a fine power ranking score. So I felt pretty confident about jamming him in. I think he was in about 30 or 40% of my 20 max lineup. So anytime you get a top 15 performance out of your, what was he, $6,600 golfer, you're definitely looking, you're looking pretty good. The only slight issue was he still only managed 72.5 DraftKings points, even as a top 15 finisher. You would have to go all the way down to, I guess it was Sebastian Kaplan at 6,200. He finished T21, and that was like the next lowest score. Everybody in McNealy's range pretty much broke 80 DraftKings points. So some good and some bad there, obviously, which is to be expected with a $6,600 golfer. For sure wish he could have flashed a little bit more upside, but again, T15, making the cut, allowing to pay up for Rory, all good things from a cheap guy. So that lineup, I ran in the Listener League, and it was a couple spots out of cashing. It min-cashed the birdie, and it was in the just outside the top 10% of lineups. So it definitely could have been better. Would have liked to have seen maybe a charge from Cam or McCarthy or both at some point, but it just didn't happen. So the optimal, I think, has been pretty good. The lineup review is something that I definitely want to continue every week. It's not a guarantee that it's going to always be the number one optimal in the system. Like this week it spit out a bunch of lineups with DJ Trahan and Henrik Norlander and a couple other guys that I just didn't feel terribly comfortable going heavily investing into them. So we'll continue to tweak it. We'll see how it turns out. But I definitely think we're on to something with the optimizer, and I'm looking forward to releasing it and seeing what you guys think. So real quick, I do want to talk about the power ranking. Basically, what ends up happening is the way that I calculate it is it's in terms of actual golf scoring. So, you know, when you see the raw scores, it's, I don't know, minus 2.4 or whatever Rory was this week. That means, theoretically, that would be his advantage over an average golfer on a neutral course. So that's sort of how I've been presenting it since it came out, I guess, in June or July of last year. But the problem is that the way that I backtested it was based on that raw score, and it's not really a fair representation of the field when I do that, because it could be that there's, you know, four golfers with minus two or better raw scores. So how does that affect how you're building lineups and how those guys are performing? It definitely makes a difference. And then there's some weeks where, you know, at the 3M Open or something, maybe there's nobody that's better than a 1.5 or a 1.3. So I was talking to a bunch of guys, talked to Blair, who's one of the editors over at RotoViz. I talked to Anthony Amico, who's another RotoViz alum, and we all sort of agreed that there should be some sort of a scoring system for a scaled scoring system for the spread of the power ranking numbers for a given field. So just real quickly, there's going to be an article coming out in the next week or so about this, but I just wanted to touch on it during the solo show. Basically, it's a score from 0 to 100, and that's how it'll be presented this week in the full slate breakdown article. And over, I basically backtested it since 1995, And over that span, there's been 1,050 tournaments. So golfers who fall between 90 and 100 have won over 25% of the tournaments in the sample, but they have only made up 4% of the golfers, which I think is definitely noteworthy. And then golfers with a score of 70 and above have accounted for over 70% of the wins on tour in that span, and they only make up 30% of the golfers. So basically, there'll be more in the article, but I just wanted to point out when you see it this week in the slate breakdown that if you're playing guys that are under 70 in the power ranking score, you're most likely giving up way too much, whether it's you're giving up too much cut equity or win equity or whatever you're really trying to test against. Like, for example, the group that is between 60 and 70 only finishes in the top five about 4.8% of the time, and only hits the DraftKings bonus 44% of the time. So right off the bat, you're really hamstringing yourself as you go down the power ranking. And I'll present it in a couple of different ways and have some more nuggets for you guys next week when the article comes out. But definitely something to think about and consider as we go through and you start to see, you know, the power ranking score rather than the raw power ranking. So and then real quick before we get out of here, I just wanted to point out a couple of the guys at the top of the expected birdies metric that will be out on Tuesday. Probably when you're listening to this, it will have already it'll already have been published. But Scottie Scheffler, even though he had a rough week last week, still pops as the highest in the expected birdies model. I do think that some of it is small sample still, so I'm not terribly convinced. But the next three guys, Hovland, Morikawa, and Wolf, also suffer from small samples. Their samples are definitely growing, but it wouldn't surprise me if one or two of those guys sort of underperformed relative to what their expected birdies is telling us. And then as we go down the list, Justin Thomas and Hideki Matsuyama are all the way up at the top. The highest expected birdies out of the 5K range. And then a couple of names that continue to pop, even though sort of had some rough weeks over the past couple, Sebastian Munoz and Sepp Straka. I'm losing a little faith in them. I don't think I'm going back to that well necessarily. But a guy who did pop this week that I'm pretty interested in and hope that we're not a week late is Harry Higgs. He's done really well in the power ranking model over the fall swing. He was a guy who I was playing quite a bit, and he's a guy at 6,900 that you could definitely feel comfortable locking into your lineups. Finau is up here as well. And then you have guys like Denny McCarthy who've made the optimal lineups quite a few times over the past couple of weeks, and Aaron Wise. So just a few names to consider. In the article tomorrow, I will point out the, you know, sort of the outliers from expected birdies versus salary perspective. But yeah, it'll definitely be a fun week. Everybody knows waste management is just like a huge party leading right into the Super Bowl. So really, like, what could be better than that? And we will we'll see if maybe Ricky can go back to back. We'll see what we can come up with for some lineups and for some picks during tomorrow's show. So that's gonna do it. Make sure you are following along on Twitter at Matt Jones TFR. Make sure also that you are jumping into the Listener League. I will have that in the show notes for today's show, as well as on my Twitter. So jump in. If we keep filling it up, we'll bump it up to maybe 75 guys in the next couple of weeks. But either way, good luck in your contest this week, and we will talk soon. See ya.